In with the prices from the CME Group in Chicago. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Here the way the numbers are trading at this hour. July corn is up 2¾ at $4.24. September at 4.33½, up 4¾. And December on the 10-minute delay, up 4¼ at 4.43¼. Soy complex bean futures 9¾ higher at 10.47½. November at 10.26½ for the new crop, up 10¼. And the January up 10¼. July futures there are up 6¾. The bean meal is 4.40 higher. Bean oil up 67 cents. Wheat futures are eight and a quarter cents higher for the day at $5.80½. And the hard red up 6½ at 5.71½. Live cattle futures in Chicago are 85 cents lower. The feeders are down a nickel, and the lean hogs are up 60 cents. Some of the outside markets at this hour: crude oil up 71 cents a barrel. Ethanol just about unchanged for the day. Gasoline is a nickel lower on the morning, and diesel fuel is down a penny and 4 cents at this hour. On the phone line to take a look at some of these numbers is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Mike, it's a big day. Usually the July WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, are something of a ho-hum, though they always come after, of course, the June acreage and grain stocks report. But this set of last reports really does put some pressure on the marketplace today to see just what WASD and USDA has to say about old and new crop stocks. What do you think?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's where it goes back to the stocks report from the June numbers will be, you know, put into those numbers now, Todd, as well as the lower corn acreage numbers. I think obviously the number one feature to the trade right now is how does the USDA balance the crop conditions report with where we're at in terms of yield? Because if, you know, using our baseline year of 2010 that you and I have talked about a long time now, back in 2010 at the end of June we were at 73% good to excellent on corn. We were at 68 this year at the end of June. Illinois is almost the same as it was back in 2010. Iowa is about 9-10 points better than it was back in 2010. Minnesota is exactly the same as it was back in 2010. And yet the yield back in 2010 on both the June report and the July report was 163.5. Same could be said for the beans. We were not even planted as much or as emerged enough this year compared to 2010. USDA was at a 42.9 yield. So I think the trade is based upon the colleagues and the conversations I've had and the knowledge that's growing up in Chicago and in the investor community that supply is still falling faster and still deteriorating in most of the central corn belt. We're going to find out whether USDA picks up on this or not today.
Do you suppose USDA will change those numbers? It doesn't seem, I guess they have in the past, but it takes something really for them to get in and change those numbers until they get the crop production figures out in August.
Yeah, that's right. Statistically, they could because of these crop conditions. And I think, again, the beans being planted at 94% at the end of June versus 97% at the end of June 2010, you could see them justifiably change the acreage number even before this resurvey coming out next month, or taking some yield off of the table because of the delayed soft red wheat harvest and less harvested acres, or a lower yield because of the double crop production just isn't going to make as big a production potential based upon the calendar and the fact that beans are based upon the daylight. So you're exactly right. It's unlikely. I think the trade, you know, the average trade guess going into the report today is $1.54 billion on the corn. The average trade guess on the beans is $370. That's probably the number we watch as far as whether we meet or exceed that or go below that. And that's probably where the market comes in and dictates whether we have an overbought condition that needs to be sold off in the short term or whether the report fed the bull or not.
These are the ending stocks numbers, of course, for the 2015-16 crop, or the crop that's in the ground at this point. And that number, $1.54 billion for corn and $370 million for soybeans, would be what would be left in the bin when we get to the fall of 2016. Again, I'd like to go back to what USDA may or may not do. I'm wondering, and we're only, what, an hour away now from these reports being released. USDA has a lot to balance in here because they have to balance maybe acres being resurveyed and acreage going down for soybeans. in which case the actual yield per acre might go up, I suppose. So that's a real balancing act that they have to look at.
It is, and I think this is where, you know, not to divert from your question, but I think you need two things, and I think you're getting them right now to soften any potential blow in the medium term. I'm not talking the next 72 or 96 hours of trading. I'm talking more of the next 3, 4, 5 weeks of trading, essentially between the July report and the August report. One of the things that I've really wanted out of this market a long time, and out of the USDA in particular, is a more friendly supply outlook on global wheat stocks. And I think we could get that today because the number 1 through 3 producers in Europe, France, Germany, and Great Britain, are all struggling. Key states of the Baltic regions are struggling with hot, dry weather. And I think we could see a pretty nice reduction in ending stocks globally for wheat. So if we get that, I think it takes some pressure off of what they do on the corn and beans as far as feeding the bull. The other biggest feature is that investor demand situation in the outside markets. We've seen in the last 24 hours, roughly, an 11% gain and buyback into the Shanghai stock market. Todd, I tell you, this week you could see very clearly the crude oil, the dollar, the grease, the China's dominoes falling in each direction. We saw them falling together and breaking the market earlier this week. Since yesterday, we've seen them go back up and break the other way. And the dollar index now has given up all of its July gains. So essentially, the market is assessing this weekend as a grease deal will get done because they're cutting pensions. And they're going to be able to raise taxes in their letter they wrote to the European Union. So that could be a big help in the medium term for the analysis and for the trend of the market still going higher, even if we get a correction in the short term.
All right. So we're down here at a real pivotal time, and there's much happening in the United States, in Europe, as it relates to the crop, across the planet, China, Europe. And then, of course, you have the Middle East as well, with some talks there with Iran. These things all have to be balanced, and it makes for a difficult prospect for producers. What do they need to consider most importantly at this time? Is it their local basis?
I think that's a big factor. I also would strongly encourage them to get in touch and be very vigilant, and even on a weekly basis, getting involved with their lender and talking to them about what the prices are, what their yield production potential is. By far, that's been the biggest issue, other than where the price upside would be for the next hedge level. I've put it about 5 to 6% higher than our report highs from last week, because that's the next resistance for the Bloomberg Grain Index. I believe that the market is in a situation here where it wants to go higher because supplies are falling faster than demand. But you have to balance that with what your lender needs and what your farm and your revenue needs as well. And so I'm encouraging talking to the lender, and I think that doing more paper positions, doing more known risk positions, we hit this on a commodity week several weeks ago, keep those unlimited risk positions manageable and try and stay in the paper positions until you know your yields. Because in the central corn belt and the bean belt, at least from what I'm hearing, yields are still falling, even in the corn. We're seeing corn in areas of Decatur all the way over to Indianapolis see firing on the bottom leaves, almost like they're in a drought. So are we going to have, you know, big, decent ears of corn, or are we going to have a lot of pullback? And this is what you need to talk to your lender about starting right now, in my opinion.
Hey, thanks so much. I look forward to our conversation this afternoon post these USDA reports at 2:06 during the closing market report.
Me too, Todd. Thanks again.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. He joins us here on Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbanum. Coming up on the top of the hour, it'll be 10 o'clock in the central time zone. Again, futures in the corn pit are about 2 to 3 higher. Beans are up around 9 cents all the way through the March contract, and wheat futures are about 4 higher for the day. Livestock show us for the morning that the cattle are down around 70 cents, and the live cattle feeders are up about 7.5, and lean hogs are 57.5 cents higher. Don't forget that at 11 o'clock, in just about an hour, USDA will release the latest world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Check out WILLAG.org. We'll post those numbers there as quickly as we can, really, very, very quickly, within a minute or two, as long as I can get access to them. Also on my Twitter feed, at Commodity Week, and that feed will be posted at willag.org too. I'm Todd Gleason.